Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. I am very honored to have my guest today. He's been a long time fighter for freedom and truth and justice, and he is a staunch advocate for our children. He has been way before the last 3 years have made it very clear that we're in serious danger. Kevin Jenkins was on the front lines, and he's still on him now, fighting every day, and I'm honored to have him here. Thanks for joining me, Kevin.
Hey, how you doing, Mel? How's everything?
I'm great. It's always great to see you. You know, I'm so weird when I see you. I'm like, Kevin Jenkins is here. Kevin. And Rob's like, calm down. I'm like, no, I love him. No,
you and I love you guys too. I love you guys too.
You're Listen. Such an amazing force of energy and truth. And you just never give up. You just keep fighting for the facts and transparency. And the last time I saw you was right before Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday. And you had a lot of interesting things to say that I wanted definitely to have you come on. But in the time since then, I've watched what you were discussing, and I it's even more important. So just to backtrack a little for my audience, who is Kevin Jenkins, and what? How did you end up on the front lines in this battle between good and evil?
Well, you know, people ask me that question all the time, and I always have like slightly different answers, because right. if you look at the swath of my life and the swath of, you know, historically what I've done, in communities around the country, if it's economic development, housing development, you know, developing a focus where people can understand that their cities are thriving, emerging markets. If right. you look at education, wrote a lot of education, public policy for charter schools, which I'm disenchanted with now. But I've always done a lot. My life has been filled, of course, with public service, but also understanding business, also understanding how to grow a business, also understanding how to build an institution. I started in the nonprofit sector when I was a kid, building my first house tax credit housing project. Then I moved into community development. Then I moved into government affairs. I was the chief of staff for my wife for many, many years in the municipal council and government. I've done it all from soup to nuts. But this particular part of my life, I believe, because of all the things I've done working in Africa, developing health initiatives in Africa, those things helped me to be the person I am today, to stand in the public square and fight for children, our children, against these tyrannical, evil people, because I understand the system. I'm an insider. I understand the politics. I understand who's controlling it. I understand who's financing it. I understand what kind of narrative we need to be building against these people. So for me, I believe God has been preparing me for this all my life. So when I was at the right top at part of my life, that I can be able to be an unmovable source of energy for what we're fighting against and what we're fighting for. And right now, I'm just excited about the fact that I have enough sense to do it. Because, you know, I was sitting at my kitchen table 2 years ago, and this young man, Jamel Holly, who was an assemblyman in Newark, came to talk to me about parents getting their religious exemptions taken away from them. And I was like, that doesn't make much sense. Who would do that to a parent? Who would take a parent's ability to protect his child from any industry or anything? I mean, what does government believe they have the right to do that to us when we form the government, we finance the government, and we elect them to manage the government? Right. We are the government, not them. So who are they to take our power away from us? So I was a little intrigued by that.
Right.
And then I went on to have a conversation and see the presentation that Bobby was doing,
right.
Bobby
right.
Kennedy was doing. And I was like, well, wait a minute. I don't mind this, but I think we need to build an institution, because if you have an institution, you have institutional voice. And if you have an institutional voice, you now can create the right institutional science to fight against these people or to educate people. So at Urban Global Health Alliance, you know, we created this pillar of advocacy, education, and public policy. And so that was the impetus of us going out and having a real serious retail discussion with Americans. See, I believe you have to go retail. You have to go into these communities. You have to go into these towns. You have to talk to people to try to figure out what they're thinking, to get them to understand what's going on in the world, and then get them to take action. So for the last 2 years, you know, I think I'm now up to 300,000 miles.
Right.
And I think 64 cities and, you know, 45 states. I think it's like 42 states. I've been to back and forth all over the country. And so I believe that I've heard a lot. I believe that I've listened. I mean, I said I've listened a lot, and I believe I've learned a lot.
Right.
And I think that has formed me for this fight that I'm continuing to be on with you, Mel, and so many other, you know, patriots and so many other fighters and so many other people that are fighting against the tyranny of our time. So I think, you know how you hear the whisper of God in your ear, and that's the grace moment in that. I think that when God whispered, you know, he put me to work, and I always laugh. I said, I never met anybody happy about talking to God. It's when they bust out laughing. What do you mean? I said, if you think about every prophet, they didn't go to God and say, oh, God, make me a vessel. And,
right.
That's pretty tough, you know? So whatever God wants you to do, try to do it to the best of your ability.
Right. That's funny, because when I speak, I don't prepare. I just say, I'll give it to God. I get up there, I get off stage, and I'm like, did that make sense? I don't even know what I said. I know that's me too. And that's why I travel around. And one thing you said that's really important and is missing here is what you're doing. And I think why I go to groups that are 20 people and I bring my constitutions, or I go to 60 people, it doesn't matter. And that's what I've been doing, the same as you, is like road tripping. But I've also fallen in love with America again. And that's been a real blessing that I didn't expect, which was like just the drive from Arizona. I'm in Santa Fe right now. I had to stop the car multiple times to take pictures of how beautiful America is.
Well, just imagine this, Mal. You and I are feeling the same way, because think about this. I was on the road, I think from March, April, May, June, for 3 months going across this country. And guess what? You know what? I had the same feeling you had. I fell in love with this country. I fell in love with it. I fell in love with this country. I mean, it's just amazing country. But you know who else I fell in love with? I fell in love with the people of this country.
Me too. That's where I was going. I was going exactly there. Because people say, why do you go? I said, I love when somebody comes up to me, you meet eye to eye, you speak like humans. Something that's been left out of this whole thing, and on a bigger scale that you're dealing with too, is dialogue. Conversation, talking to people with different thoughts, with talking about open-minded and ideas and solutions. And there's not enough of that. And then come the tyranny with the COVID, nobody's allowed to talk now. And now nobody's allowed to talk in the open either, but by these people that we know will not succeed. But that's another thing you do a lot. You're willing to go have dialogue with the other side, as we need more of, and you do it in a way that is sane and measured. And why isn't more of that happening?
Well, you have to understand,
you're doing it.
You know, it's really interesting. I can't tell you why people are not doing it. Look, a lot of people are under a dream spell. A lot of people are brought into this tribalism. A lot of people don't understand the complexities and the science that they're using to destroy humanity. I mean, to destroy your children. A lot of people can't grasp the concept of a group of people sitting in a room and masterminding the destruction of mankind. Like, you know, even when they read the Bible, or the Torah, or the Quran, they still can't grasp the fact that, you know, there are some evil people on the planet that are not focused on saving humanity or protecting our children or protecting our life. They're bent on controlling us. And because I grew up in the system of understanding how to communicate on either parts of the, you know, the aisle, it allows me to cut right through the garbage. Like, I know what you're doing.
Right.
I know how you're doing. And let me tell you, as a Black American, if you support the slave passport, if you support mandatory vaccines, if you support government control, if you support socialism, you are anti-Black.
Right on.
You're anti-Black. If you're a Black American and you support any of that, you're anti-Black. Someone said, Kevin, how is that possible? Because you have to look at the policies that are being voted and passed in Congress and in the Senate at the local levels. They're anti, and the reason I say anti-Black, because they're Black Americans pushing those very public policies that impact their own people. So they're anti-Black. You can't be pro-Black. You can't be pro-human life. You can't be pro-family if you support those bills. So when you see a Black person does it, and I always laugh, I said, you got to call them a modern day slave catcher, because they'll call you one because you're white, or they'll use race against you because you're white. No, you're not racist. Their policies are racist. You're not racist. What they're supporting is racist. You're not racist. You're not supporting the slave passport. You're not saying that you need to close your small business down and starve. You're not saying we're going to put you on universal income and put you in perpetual poverty. You're not saying that you want to turn over your child. You see what I'm saying? So those people are the ones that are racist. They're the ones that are trying to rewrite the language of race to give cover to this evil narrative that takes away all of our freedoms.
Right.
So when you see me go after Black Americans, I want you to understand I'm sending them a message.
Right.
You are now participating in the Negro Project. You are now participating in eugenics. You are now participating in genocide. Not those white people. No, not the white people that they keep telling you don't like you or they're against you. No. There are Black people in the Congress, Black people in the Senate, Black people on the council, Black people that are aldermen, Black people that are making those decisions to kill their own people. So you don't get to go around talking about race.
Right. Right on. It's like you said.
And so they can't handle that conversation from me because I know it's the truth. They can't say, I'm not Black enough or I'm not a Black man. But what they're saying about me now, because I believe in faith, family, and freedom, and I believe in this country, and I believe in every human being having rights and being protected by our laws, they're calling me a white supremacist now.
I love it. I love it. I saw Maxine Waters, somebody should really look into her finances for the last 50 years.
It doesn't even matter. It doesn't even matter. She's morally corrupt.
But she came out the other day and said that the Black people in Congress not voting are what basically white supremacists, like you just said. It's just so nonsensical. I can't. And it seems like they hold on forever. And she's Sharpton out there standing behind Biden again. And I'm thinking, what is going on?
Well, no. What you're seeing is the complete dumbed down of Black society, the Black race. If those people are supporting the Black race, we're in trouble. All of those elected officials and all of those pundits that are Black American, they're selling garbage as hope. They're guard dogs of the, I call them the guard dogs of the oligarchs. They're selling their own people trash and garbage every day. And see, they can't put me in the category. They would try to, but they can't because I know who they are. And as soon as they open up their mouths, I'm going to take on every file I have on them and say, now, here are these people. Here's who they are.
Right.
And so we're in a big fight. I'm in a fight to have the internal fight in my community, but I'm also in a fight to save every child in this country from these demonic people. But I'm also in a fight to try to talk to people around the world on how we could come together and be the we as opposed to focusing on the they.
Right.
So
right.
That's why they don't want me talking to you, Mel, because I'm getting us focused on the we, how we become we, how we become together, how we join together, how we fight. We the people, all of us, not Black, white, not Jewish, not all of us. We are the we, not the they. You know, those people that say they are masking my child, they are taking my jobs. No, that means you have accepted bondage and that means you've accepted slavery.
Right.
And I don't believe you and I, Mel, are focused on that level.
No. And that's the other thing. There's a lot of, I see a lot of drama and distraction. I'm like, wait a minute. Does everyone get that America was captured by a bunch of people that meet in Davos and they're quadrillionaires telling trillionaires, telling millionaires to then tell our politicians in DC who are all in on it, make the American people comply. And it's coming from an entity, like I talked about the JFK warning us about the same people we're dealing with. It's the same people. And if people keep focusing on first of all, it's those people financing CRT, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, all of that. I can trace a lot of this right to the Rockefeller's doorstep, which is of course the UN, goes right to World Economic Forum. It's a very small group of people that want to cancel God, want to control all of humanity. And that's what people need to realize. Kevin, you and I are saying to people, stop and realize this is humanity. Forget the Black, white, gay, straight. They created that. The same people we're dealing with that have captured our country and many other countries, it's the same cabal. They also have turned us against each other on purpose. It's a playbook. This is how they do it. But the good news is that for me, at least, a lot of the destruction in New York with the no bail, the new DA is not going to put anyone away. This is so, all of my Black friends in New York, they are outraged, A, about the CRT, but B, this isn't about Black and white. There are legitimate criminal sociopaths and psychopaths that belong in prison. But now there's nobody's going to prison. And particularly the Black community, especially in Brooklyn and up in Manhattan, it's a Wild West. It wasn't like this. And this war, this pretending it's about defunding the police and social justice, it is destroying. They can't let their kids go outside to sit on the stoop or to, walk with their friends down the street right now without worrying they're not going to come home in one of the nicest neighborhoods in New York City.
Well, those people unfortunately are allowing that to happen. Listen, I'm very familiar with New York City. I lived in Brooklyn, I lived in Manhattan, and I'm very familiar. This is all by design. They want to destroy these major cities. They want to turn them into dystopian hellholes because they can't do it to the rest of the country. And until these residents and these cities understand it's not about Republican and Democrat, right, and that is about finding the right leadership that values human life, they're going to die in those cities.
Yeah. Are there programs for good people? Like, you know how they do it, especially in at least I could see it in New York, in the projects in New York, once they get you in there and they get you into their office and they sign you up for everything. And now you have all this stuff from the government, this horrible housing that they don't take care of, and this crappy money that you can make more if you even had a small job and all of this. But are there programs out there for people that live in the inner city and care more about their kids and their futures and want to get out? Because it seems like a lot of these people are stuck in the inner city.
Well, but this is the problem, though. They know that these people are going to be stuck. Right. That's why they started marketing, you know, this injection of death and trying to convince Black Americans that they were unhealthy. But Black Americans are unhealthy because of our relationship with the white coats. Black Americans are financially broke because we cut a deal with the government and accepted their welfare check as opposed to accepting ownership. Black American schools are failing because those schools are still controlled by the education cartel, and those Black leaders in those schools and those Black leaders in those cities and those Black leaders in those churches, they've sold their people down the river. You know, they've zoomed in Jesus and accept the devil's product as soon as they offered it to him. So we have to take responsibility for what's happening in our communities. And you know, as far as, you know, if there are programs, the problem is we shouldn't need programs. What we should be doing is taking back control of our lives and creating a balance of leadership that's going to protect our interests. And the problem is with majority of Americans in this country, we've given our power to a bunch of idiots that shouldn't be controlling anything. And guess what? We deserve what we get. I no longer accept the premise that my kids can't walk down the street because it's dangerous. No, your kids can't walk down the street because you're not participating in a real discussion to get rid of this poor leadership and make our communities and make all communities around the country responsible for their neighborhoods. Yeah. End of discussion. I don't want to hear about anything else. After 60 some odd years, after the civil rights movement, after Reconstruction to Jim Crow to the civil rights movement to now, we should know better. Right. Our community should be thriving. And it's not about Black and white leadership running it, because if that's the case, Black leadership is running these cities for years. Let me tell you why I know. Because I've worked in government. I know what a good government is and a bad government is. And what you're seeing now is the worst of government, not even bad. On white and Black, on Latino and Jewish, and on whatever.
Right.
I'm gonna tell you a story. I got on the elevator yesterday. I was in Sacramento.
Never know where we are.
I know. I get on an elevator just to show you how crazy things are. I get on the elevator yesterday, me and Dr. Illy, who I love, we're down there talking to Sacramento. And I get on the elevator, no mask on. Nobody's saying anything to me. I think by now we should all know the mask thing is about control. It's not about your health. And the more you wear them, the sicker you're going to be mentally and physically and spiritually. Exactly. I'm on the elevator and these two guys get on the elevator. And I think both of them might have been gay. I don't know.
Okay.
Right? Now think about this. I'm on the elevator and Dr. H is getting off the elevator, and the guy, and my floor is on the 11th and their floor was one and ever, I don't know. But the guy looks me in my face and says to me, "Will you put on your mask?" I said, "Absolutely not." I said, "Do you have on your mask? Have you taken the 3 shots of the booster?" I said, "And if you're afraid of me, get off the elevator." Then Dr. H gets back on and say, "What is wrong with you? If you have the mask on, if you took your 3 shots of the booster, you should be safe, right?"
Right.
But think about this for half of a second. I'm a Black American male on an elevator, and he's looking at me and trying to tell me what to do with my body. Now, is that freaking not racist or not? But now he won't look at it that way because he might be gay, but I can look at it and say, "Well, I don't like you as a gay person. Oh, I don't like you because you might have AIDS. Oh, I don't like you because you might like men." This is what they're turning us into. Now, but what I would have said to him was, "Well, my family raised millions of dollars for the gay community over the last several decades. We've hired nothing but gay people, not because they were gay, because they were smart, genius people, and they happen to be talented, and we love their work, right?" But now if I would have said that, and then on top of that, We fought for your full citizenship, and now you're trying to take what's left of mine.
Right. Yeah.
This is what I'm trying to say to you.
This is everywhere. Is what I'm trying That's to a say microcosm to you. Of what's going on. And
so how could he look at me?
Right.
But I want everybody to understand this at home. How could he look at me as if I was a detriment to him when in fact I'm a supporter of yours, but now you're using your privilege, your assumed status of full citizenship to tell me what to do. Me.
Right.
Now, and that is the issue. And I'm looking at him and I laugh. I said, now, how does it feel to be told no? So he had to get off the elevator. See, when we don't stand up for our rights, and if we can't articulate it that way, people get away with it. So, right. And I said, now, isn't this something? He believes he has full citizenship and I'm still freaking fighting for mine. And he's trying to tell me what to do.
Right.
But then he wouldn't see that as being racist. See, he wouldn't see that. Oh, no, I'm not racist. Oh, what the hell is that? Is you trying to tell me what to do with my body and put on my face because of my color or my health status?
Right. Well, that's the thing. They've conflated it. Listen, they did this in Nazi Germany. This isn't new. This is the same playbook. And, you know, I say a lot of my show, an author I really like, Hannah Arendt, said it wasn't the convinced Nazi that was the problem. It was the apathetic German that followed orders and looked the other way. And that's what we're dealing with now.
But you know what though? Look what's happening in Germany. Look what's happening in Australia. Look what's happening in the UK with some shock. But think about this, Mel. You got to really think it. This is really twisted, right? I'm not surprised that the Australians are doing that to their people. You know why? It's a penal colony. And those people were conscious of that stuff. They came and they supported Nazi Germany. Wait a minute. And when they did go into Australia, the first thing they did was kill the Aborigines and kill the Tasmanian people. So murder and genocide is in their DNA. I'm not surprised about what's happening in Germany, how soon they forgot, because they held resentment all along because we won the war. We won against Nazi Germany, and they've been suppressing it and hiding it for decades. Now you see it in full bloom.
Yeah.
Same thing with Canada, free love in Canada. No, it's never been free love in Canada. You have to understand the history of Canada. So I'm not surprised. The only country I know that can save the world right now is America.
Yeah.
Because we have people like yourself and people like the Patriots I meet all around the country on the Clay Clark's tour, on the Faith Family and Freedom tour, on all of the places I've gone. See, there are Americans now that are willing to fight for what freedom really means, because I believe Americans had a poetic relationship with freedom.
Right.
They had a poetic relationship with the Constitution. They had a poetic relationship with the Bill of Rights. They never believed in any of it because it was so easy for them to live in this country.
Right, right.
You see what I'm saying now?
Right now. Yeah, of course I understand what you're saying. But here's the great part is I feel like it's happening all over the world. And it's happening at the same time. And I think I was surprised and happy at the rally and at the events lately. I'm hearing more and more people talk about the big picture, the Great Reset, the World Economic Forum, the true nature of what we're dealing with on a massive scale, that there are puppet masters and the people that are encouraging toxic hate and insanity, they're doing it on purpose. And people are starting to see it, like you said before. Now, something I did see that you had just talked about it, and then I'm watching as Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday comes every year. You know, you see lots of memories and they play his speeches and you see quotes. Well, I saw something last year, but then really the last week, which is everyone can agree what Dr. Martin Luther King did for this country and the planet is remarkable, changed history. Really just there's so few people who have lived that have made such a great impact. But I'm watching them talk about what he said, what I believe he meant, and it's completely manipulated. This is not what I believe Dr. King stood for, what he was saying. And what are you seeing? Because I'm seeing them turn into a brand of some sort.
What I'm seeing, and I've been, you know, this is really interesting. I've been seeing this over the years, but now maybe because I'm just older, you know, and maybe because I have this platform and maybe because I'm doing this work, I get to talk about it openly. I might have talked about it privately. I talked about it in small groups, but they have destroyed who this man was. They have commercialized him to the point that he's a Coca-Cola commercial now. The same corporatocracy,
right.
The same government, the same people that he was fighting against is now marketing his words against the people that he was fighting for, which were Americans and people all around the world. So you know, what you see now is the final destruction of who this man was, right. You know, and it's embarrassing for me to have to say that, but Black Americans have destroyed, I mean, Black American leadership, the political class, the entertainment class, you know, the pseudo-intellectual class, the Black church, the Black political, they have destroyed who this man was. This man was not only, listen, 26 years old, he stood up against the tyranny of his time.
Yep.
From 26 years old, he could have been whatever he wanted. So when he said he'd been to the mountaintop, he'd been to the mountaintop because he went to ask God for the right answer. When he says, I've seen the glory, that means he saw that God said, if you do this work, your people will be free and I will help to build a better world for the people that you love. And it was just not about Black people, it was about all of us. And we started to realize that. When you know what I'm trying to say? When I seen the glory, when I seen the glory of the, I mean, that's what he was talking about. And he sacrificed his life for us. And what they have done is commercialized him to the point that his words has no value. And my message now is that we need to reclaim the dream.
Right.
We have to reclaim the dream.
His dream was for all of us. His dream was for all of us.
Right.
And the way that they've turned it now is in the CRT light. I'm watching this. I'm thinking, what are they talking about?
It's even worse than that. It's even worse than that. It's easier. What they're doing now, they're trying to change the narrative of race to fit their narrative of hate and fit their narrative of slavery. And what they're doing is they're using Black people that look like me, or they're giving the impression that the radical left, the Democratic Party, giving people the impression they care about people, when in fact, the Democratic Party and the radical left are the most evilest people on earth. And let me tell you why. Because every policy that they have created from the 1964, after the 1964 Civil Rights Bill, has been a destructive force for Black Americans in this country. And let me tell you, this whole voters thing that you hear about in Georgia is the biggest con job ever. And let me tell you why. And then they're trying to connect it to Jim Crow. Then they're trying to connect it to segregation. Then they're trying to say it's bigotry. Then they're trying to say—
insulting. It's so insulting.
Let me spend some time there for a second, because I want people to understand.
Go ahead. Good.
This is what we call maximum sophisticated confusion. This has nothing to do about Black and white and the vote. No, this is about one thing. They want to weaken our ability to control our states and control how we vote in our states, because they want to continue to manipulate the electoral process and further erode and destroy it. This has nothing to do with racism. I'm going to tell you why. In Georgia, right, in America, 95% of Black Americans vote for the Democratic Party to their own demise. But so Black Americans don't have a problem showing their ID and showing their signature when they go and vote for Democrats. But let me tell you what the problem is. There's been a detachment from the Democratic Party and Black people, because Black people aren't running into the polls to vote for them.
Right.
They're not running, and they see the trend. So this is not about Black people. This is not about Black voters' rights. This is not about Jim Crow. This is not about Martin Luther King. This is not about Malcolm X. This is about them trying to get another set of people, which are illegal immigrants, right, to come in and take over the system, because they know we're not buying it anymore. And now they're using Black people as their proxies, right, as their proxies to do that. Shame, shame, shame on them. This
that
has nothing
exactly
to do with voters' rights for Black people.
That is exactly what it is. You just hit the nail on the head, and we're going to stay here for a minute on the border, because that is exactly what it is. I keep watching this and being like, I don't know one Black person who doesn't have ID. And I honestly know a bunch of homeless guys. They all have ID. This is so crazy that they're making this black and white. And everyone that I know that's Black laughs when I say, so I'll be like, so voter ID is a racism thing. They're like, it's so absurd that they use the Black community at this point. And then, you know, the powers that be in the Black community that have assumed it, they're not really the powers. They decided that they were, egg it on. But I don't think the Black community's in anymore. I really think a mess.
But people need to stop, you know, the problem is people need to stop listening to Black people on TV.
Yeah.
People need to start challenging their Black pastors and ask them why they closed up their churches and zoomed in Jesus. And then as soon as Big Pharma offered them money, they went out to the public and lied to their people.
Right.
They need to ask people, why would you talk about Martin Luther King and then talk about the slave passport? Why would you talk about Martin Luther King and then support the mandates? Right. Why would you talk about Martin Luther King and not fight against the same tyrants that he was fighting against, but they're more greater and more powerful because we allowed them, we have transferred all of our public wealth to their private wealth. Martin Luther King would be appalled right now. So my message to everybody is that we need to reclaim the dream. Reclaim what the dream stood for. Reclaim what he stood for. We need to break away from these global tyrants destroying his image. And I got to tell you, even his family participates in this.
Right.
I mean, who would allow them to do that to their father? I mean, who would allow them to turn their father into a caricature? Who would allow them to turn this great warrior for humankind into some watered down version of a speech that nobody understands?
Right.
Nobody understands that speech. Nobody understood what motivated that speech. Nobody understood what he was going through. Do you know this man was in turmoil before he was assassinated? He was the most hated man in America after everything he had done because he said civil rights was just not enough. What about human rights? What about economic equity? That's why he went out and did the war on poverty. That's what they were really angry about, because he was bridging the gap. That's why I'm on a disinformation list. Not because I had a big social media following, which I don't, right? I have it. But the reason why they put me on the list is because I'm talking to you, Mel, that I was talking to white Americans all around this country, that I was breaking them out of the dream spell about race. I was talking to them that Black Americans are not monolithic. I was saying that Black Americans aren't victim. And by the way, some of you in this audience, I had to break the bad news to you. I'm more privileged than you.
And you know what? It's person to person. This is what I'm saying about the election coming up. Forget right and left. Democrat, Republican, go by your gut, but you don't vote or check the mark or pick anyone on that list to vote for until you know who that individual is. We got to start voting for the person. Where did they get their money? Who funded them? Are there any of these NGOs or any of these anti-American globalist people or CCP fronts that put that person in that running and paid for their campaign? Because once you find the money, you're going to find the problems. But again, we have to go person by person, county by county, and take it really seriously. And that's why we go and meet people in counties, in local communities, and find the good people and weed out the bad. Now, one last thing before we go, I wanted to talk a little bit about, first, what's going on at the border right now is, to me, the largest human and child trafficking ring we've ever seen in humanity, or out in the open, funded by our government, actually funded by us, the UN, Catholic Charities, and the Open Society. But what it is it's a giant human trafficking slave trade. And we are watching it in real time. And these people are getting, and then the fentanyl and everything else, terrorists coming across. But these people are getting sucked into our country and they're acting as if we're being humanitarian. But what's happening to most of them is they're becoming slaves here, if not literally, figuratively, but certainly the cartel also, they're sending the money home. This is not a step up for most of these people, and it's being sold that way. What's your take on what's going on at the border?
The border is a part of the greater coup of this country. There's a coup going on in this country. And if we didn't have the Second Amendment, and then we didn't at least have a deeper understanding of what it means to be free, we would be like Australia. We would be like Germany. We'd be like the UK.
Right.
You know, we'll be like some of those other European countries. But this is a bigger play to destabilize this country with Black Lives Matter and all of these other groups, Antifa, all of them. Those were the destabilizing people that were trying to create the energy for the coup. But guess what? God had a bigger plan, because that's how we connected.
Right.
See, we know what's going on.
Right.
See, we know what we know. So this whole border thing is just a part of their greater strategy to destabilize this country. And now what they're doing is they're giving these people full citizenship. This is unheard of. No country does that, because the plan is to destabilize this country, get Black and white fighting against each other.
Right.
When the people that are coming in are the ones that are going to be used to fight against us.
Right. Exactly.
And that's it. And if anybody says anything different, oh, Kevin, you're anti-immigrant. No, I'm pro-immigrant. I'm pro-immigrant that comes into the country the right way. I am anti-anything that comes into the country the wrong way. I'm sorry. No, I don't have to explain that to you.
No, but the one thing nobody's saying is these people are coming in and they're being used as slaves, sex slaves, labor slaves. They are being trafficked. They're still working for the cartel, selling fentanyl and sending the money home. This is, they're not coming here and having a better life. Besides, where they're leaving from should be the solution. You know, so what we're dealing with, and again, it's the puppet masters at the top, the guys that meet at Bilderberg and Davos and DC and the city of London and the Vatican and plot for the 7 billion of us useless eaters. And say, you know, what does Kissinger call us? Irresponsible breeding machines. And that's what, and it's like, now I look back literally on all the history that I've learned and I re-piece it together. And I even look back at like, what was that thing we had when we were kids? Like, we are the world and that whole thing. I'm like, well, what would really happen there? Because I look at all these things that these puppet masters keep saying are for humanitarian and they're helping these people coming from Guatemala and Ecuador. And no, they're not. They're not helping them. They're using them. They're using them. And as soon as 2022 passes, if they can pull off the steal, which I don't believe they will, but this is what this is about. They don't care. These people are going to end up what? Homeless and how and all of this stuff when they it's just really sick that they make it like it's a humanitarian thing. But this is the old game, you know.
Well, I got to tell you something. That's why shows like yours and, you know, I'm on American Media Periscope now every Monday at 2 o'clock. And I've been bringing some great guests on. I'm going to be back on this Monday. And I have a couple of guests lined up for the next couple of weeks. But this Martin Luther King thing, I want everybody to know this. If Martin Luther King was alive today, he would be disgusted. Right. He would never support mandatory vaccines. He would never support anybody and taking the rights of a parent to protect a child. He would never support the slave passport. He will never support these tyrannical government leaders that believe they are our God and that, you know, it's a right to, he stood up against that. And what they've done to him and what they've done to his image and what they've done to his life is destroyed it. And we have to reclaim the dream. My narrative this year is about staying on the offensive, reclaiming the dream, and protecting. This is the year of protecting the child. This is the year that not of the child, but the year of protecting the child. So all of that is reclaiming the dream, right? And talking about building bridges with people like yourself and Americans all around the country, getting on those stages, going into their communities, going into their little neighborhoods, going into their small businesses and saying, hi, I'm Kevin Jenkins.
Right.
And I believe faith. I believe in faith, family, and freedom. I believe in what you believe in. Why do you hate me? Well, Kevin, I don't hate you. Well, Kevin, why do you hate me? Oh, I don't hate you. Right. And then we start having a conversation. I said, you know who hates us? Mainstream media. You know who hates us? The global tyrants. You know who hates us? Weak and frail and disturbed elected officials that are continuing to sell our people down the line, down the river. I said, you know who hates us? People that are not connected to God. You know who hates us? People that don't believe in the value of children. That's who hate us.
You're right.
And I said, guess what? We can beat them because we love them. We love people. We love. See, we're selling love, right? We're selling the we. We're not selling they and fear.
Right.
You know, so that's what this is about.
Yeah.
You know, and we have to keep fighting. You and I are going to always fight because we know the battle is never over.
No.
And, you know, somebody called me an activist a couple of days ago and I lost my mind. I can tell you, because you're my buddy, I can tell you this. You know, when you see Black people sometimes, you say, oh, he's an activist. I know, I'm a businessman.
Right.
I'm an entrepreneur.
Well, that's your biggest message is always the Black community can do anything. What did they tell you? You've been for years being like, no. Here's how you do it. You start a business. You do this. You get your family together. You prioritize your marriage and your kids.
Right.
This is it. It's so simple.
This is it. And Black people, but when I was laughing because I said, wait a minute, guys, I don't get this, you know, this kind of thing. So I was telling some friends of mine, I said, listen, guys, we have to get back to family values. We have to go back to developing morals and principles on how we live as a group of people and stop allowing other groups of people to control our destiny and then giving our votes to them. And they're making decisions about our lives and telling us that we're too stupid to go and vote. We're too stupid to build a business. We're too stupid to be a family. Oh, we have to help those poor Black people. Oh, those Black people are too stupid to live and thrive in their own communities. Because you know why they get away with that? Because majority of the Black political class now are dumber than a doorknob. They know nothing.
So
they
weird.
Know nothing. They are proxies. They are tools. They don't represent me. Because I'm Black, I'm not monolithic. Every Black person doesn't think the same. Every Black person doesn't accept tyranny and defeat and lie. We don't accept bad neighborhoods. We don't accept bad leadership. We don't accept it just like you don't. That's why we all have to work together to get rid of these people.
Right.
You know, yeah, I find it fascinating.
We have to understand the division is, it's the same people that just stole our country and hijacked it. We are hijacked. America is right now, has been taken over, has been co-opted. And we can take it back because that's the beauty of America and our Constitution and our God-given rights. But again, we have to all work together. United we stand, divided we fall has never been more true. And the tribalism has to end. And I honestly think, because you and I've traveled, I haven't sat next to one person who's not a patriot in 8 months, in 19 states. So I know that we are the majority. People have had it, but people like you have to keep going out there and speaking, and me and some, a handful or more than other people out there being brave. But everyone should start putting on their armor of God and being brave and speaking up, because what happens is, like you know, Kevin, is it starts a fire that goes from one person to the next person to the next person. And then you're in a room like me in Santa Fe last night, and nobody's from the same country, basically. Most of them aren't from here, but the ones that are, you know, they're from all over the country. This Santa Fe is a weird place, and everyone's from everywhere. Everyone was a patriot. Everyone loves America, is like, we're going to save this country. But it took people to start to talk. People are scared to speak up. And that's why more and more people of us, we go, we interject, we start the conversation, and you realize, wait a minute, we're going to win this, and we're going to win big. And that's why I believe God wins here. And people like you are certainly making it happen. So
people like you, I got to tell you, I appreciate every time I'm on your show, because it's these kind of conversations we have to have.
I know.
All the time. I mean, all the time we have to have these conversations all the time.
And well, I'm very happy. You'll come back often.
The country is waking up, though. I'm with you.
I know.
The country's waking up.
I know.
And a lot, you know what I'm seeing? A lot of young people.
I know. Me too. I love it. I love it. Well, these are the, also don't forget what happened. There was a lot of, in their pandemic, they made a lot of mistakes. And one of the big mistakes was letting parents see what they were doing to their kids through this remote learning. And bam, the parents realized, no, I have to sit my kid down and tell him the truth. And this is really, you know, we got to go back to the family. This is all about going back to, like you said, morals, values, integrity, understanding life, liberty, very important, and what freedom really is and how blessed we are in this country to have it. And that's why everyone wants to come here. They don't all want to come here because we're a systematically racist, violent, horrible nation. You know, that's just ludicrous.
Well, you know what? You're absolutely right about that. But one of the things we have to be careful, even the people that are coming into the country and becoming citizens, you know, we can't allow them to come into the country, be citizens, and not fight for the freedoms that we had to fight for. Because I see a lot of them starting to, earlier on, I saw them complying. I'm like, how could you come from these countries and come to this country
right,
and comply?
Me too.
Doesn't make sense to me. I'm like, guys, we don't, well, you know what? Maybe you should have stayed where you were, because we're fighters in this country, right? We're going to fight against this. And if you came here saying this is a beautiful country, and you're coming still bringing in that victimhood that allowed you to be enslaved in your country and then free in this country, and then when you come here, you comply with people that are taking our freedom, well, I got a problem with that.
Yeah. And that's what they're counting on. That's what they're counting on. That's why we got to keep fighting. So Kevin Jenkins, where can everyone find you?
You can find me at Urban Global Health Alliance. Please make a donation. Come and support us. The second thing you can do is you can find me on American Media Periscope every Monday at 2:00 Eastern time. And you, of course, you know, I'm a member of Freedom Travel, a partner of Freedom Travel Alliance.
Yep.
And, you know, we're growing at that company every day.
Yeah, how's it going?
It's going very, very well. Great. And, you know, I don't even know where my images are anymore because they're just everywhere. I don't know.
I gave up on trying to follow it.
I can't.
Whatever.
So, yeah. And you might see me like today, I'm in New Jersey for one day.
Right.
You know, then I'm going to DC, and then I'm going to Kansas, and then I'm going to Miami, and then I'm going to Oregon. And so I came home because I do have a lovely wife that I've been married to for a long time.
Thank God.
I do have grandkids that I adore. And I do have a daughter in California that I just had dinner with her the other day. So I do have obligations. But you know what my family says to me? well, Daddy, we can't be a family if we're not free. We support what you're doing.
Right. I have the same. People say to me, why are you traveling all over the country? I'm like, hey, I love talking to people, but you have it as much as I do. People come up to you, tears in their eyes. They're so grateful to be there, to be talking to you, to get to have a voice. People have been silenced, shunned, lost family, friends, called conspiracy theorists, lost jobs. They come to one of our events. And I'm telling you, I've been at ones with 20 and 10,000, 20 people, 10, doesn't matter. But people come up because you and I are both very accessible and start telling their story. You can just see the burden lift off of them and the smile return and the thank you so much for listening to me. I feel so alone and now I don't feel so alone. And then we tend to go to events where there's information and action people can take and ways to get involved. And when you get involved, I would say to people, start your own group. And do it, start there. We got to do grassroots. And they say, well, what, my mom started a group. What if nobody comes? Well, what does God say? Anywhere two people meet, God's there. So it doesn't matter. This is God's army we're building. And that's what we're doing now. And you are one of my favorite people out there. I get so giddy when I'm like, what? Kevin's here.
Well, you know, I get the so same when I see you. But you know why? You know why we're like that? I'm going to tell you why I believe we're like that. Because first of all, we love people. We love what we're doing. We love life. But I think, you know, we are our God consciousness have linked us all together.
Yeah.
And I tell people, we're not here to be celebrities. We're not here. I mean, people don't make a lot of money doing this work, guys.
No, I know.
You know? So at the end of the day, you know, we're here because we believe that we want a future for our children. We want a future for our great-grandchildren. We want a future for our nephews and nieces and all of these other young people. The same kind of life I had of freedom, I want for them.
Right.
And I think that God chose us to be together at this moment because I believe in my mind and in my heart that we were developed and designed for this time.
Right. And it's the God consciousness that. And it surpasses your external. It goes inside at these events. You know, there's black, white, gay, straight, everything you could think of. Nobody even thinks about it is the truth. I don't even know why I'm playing along even saying it. It's a whole bunch of people that love God, freedom, country, family, and the children and want their kids to grow up. You know, these lunatics, but in Glasgow, they're talking about making all of nature theirs. And then we can rent it from them. I mean, they're seriously talking like this. And I'm laughing at this point. Like, we see you. We see you, but Kevin, it's always a pleasure, and
I love you.
You will be back hopefully soon, and I will see you on the road, and keep fighting because you are one of the best guys out there. You are funny, you are articulate, and you really just lay down the facts, and nobody can.
Oh, you got to put a little humor in this.
You are funny though,
because if you don't put humor, boy,
I know.
I gotta laugh because it is, you know, in ending it is. Quite hilarious.
I know. I know the absurdity. That's what I'm saying. Oh, you're having a virtual meeting discussing how the 7 billion of us should live? Okay, great. Thank you. We're not interested.
Right. So listen, I love you. We'll talk soon.
Okay, bye-bye. Thank you. Bye.